Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema of thedraftnetwork.com here to talk about the AFC South and how their rookies seem to be ready to impact year one. Never quite know, but we're going to look at kind of the expectations for these rookies, you know, how they're going to produce, how often they're going to produce, how much they're going to be on the field, et cetera, et cetera. But first, Trev, how was your 4th of July?
It was good. You know, did the typical barbecue, pool party, try to avoid the Florida afternoon storms kind of a thing. So, you know, it's always an adventure having 4th of July in Florida because you're basically like storm chasers the whole day. So
it gets that bad just on the 4th or?
No, every single day.
It's just like always like that.
But that's what I'm saying. Like every single in Florida, in Tampa, I guess, every single day between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m., it rains.
Wow.
Every single day.
Well, that's just because off the coast, I guess, huh?
It's just, the humidity, the heat, the moisture just builds up, and we get a storm every single day.
Wow.
Every single
day. Crazy. It's interesting. But in the mornings, mostly nice?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, if you like hot weather.
Intense heat.
Yeah, sure. Mostly nice depends what you think is nice.
Hey, listen,
you would probably
melt,
but you know.
We got ice on these roads about 6 months out of the year, my man.
Yeah.
Undying heat sounds like.
Could not be my state.
Mm-hmm. So give me your 4th of July plate. What was on it?
We had home-cooked ribs.
Oh.
We had stuffed peppers with cheese wrapped in bacon.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I did not get invited to that.
Okay.
How is that possible? Run that back for
me. You know,
me.
And I
stuffed
peppers. I guess now you're figuring out how good of friends we are, you know?
Yeah, I guess I am. Learning a lot on the Locked On.
Do a podcast with a guy for a year and a half, can't even get invited to a barbecue?
Unbelievable. I'm 14 hours away, you say? Who cares about that? Stuffed peppers with sausage and cheese wrapped in bacon. Watch and see how fast I'll get there. Whew, that sounds good. That sounds fire.
And then the typical burgers, hot dogs, kind of a feel. So there you go. It was a full plate yesterday. It was a full plate.
We got some ribs, some barbecue ribs. So we're also home cooked. Terrific. Got some bacon wrapped cheddar dogs. Those were excellent.
Are you a do your own fireworks kind of guy?
No, not at all. Never have. Never will. Not especially after Jason's hand. Your boy Pierre Paul's hand.
Yeah.
No. No, I mean, I've been at events where, like, I've been at, you know, parties or whatever where they did set off fireworks there. But typically, no. I've never set off fireworks. What about you?
I mean, normally that's not a thing that happens, but I have done so before in my past.
Okay. You know. Yeah, I'm more of a, you know, kick back and enjoy everybody else's hard labor around me. Story of the podcast, too, by the way.
There it is.
All right, the Houston Texans, what are we going to talk about? They didn't have a first-round pick. They didn't have a second-round pick. Can any of these rookies get on the field? You know, I thought Justin Reed was going to walk into the starting lineup. Tyrann Mathieu's here. I thought he was going to walk into that other safety spot, and they were going to play three safeties. Then Andre Hall fighting with Hodgkin's lymphoma right now, which is a real shame because he was really becoming a nice player for them, and all our best to him, obviously, in that battle. But they're also moving Kareem Jackson to safety, which is an interesting move because Jackson's like 30-something, and this late in his career. We've seen it happen before with like Ladarius Webb and a couple others have made that move over to safety later in their careers. D'Angelo Hall did it. Jackson, super smart guy, very physical against the run. I think he was Pro Football Focus's like number one ranked corner against the run. So I think that those things seem to fit the bill really well for him. But, you know, it's like it's still a guy transitioning to a new position. But you would tend to think, right, that Kareem Jackson is going to have it. I mean, he started here for years. It'd be weird for him to move him to safety and have him be a backup, right? I mean, he'd really have to struggle, I think.
I don't see that happening, no.
Right. So I think you're going to have Kareem Jackson and Tyrann Mathieu at safety. And if you play three safety packages, which I think they will, Justin Reed will get on the field, but it'll be in a limited capacity. They're going to have Kevin Johnson and Jonathan Joseph on the outside of corner, Aaron Colvin in the slot, and Reed is going to have to kind of find a role for him that fits year one at least. And then
I don't.
We'll see what happens down
there. How much do they give Aaron Colvin, though?
I don't know how much they gave him. But
because it seemed – I feel like they gave him too much money for him to play as limitedly as you just said.
What, is the nickel? So you think – well, he could beat out Kevin Johnson to start. He could. That could happen. Johnson's been destroyed by
– not only like the nickel, but you're talking about them sometimes running some three safety looks with like a bigger nickel package. So then Colvin's not on the field.
Right. So maybe he does win an outside starting spot.
I just think that they gave Colvin too much. Let me look it up.
Well, here's the thing. Romeo Crennel's not really run a lot of three safety packages, at least that I'm aware of. I don't think he has in the time that he's been there.
4 years, $4 million. That dude's not – that 4 years, $34 million. That dude's not playing in any kind of limited capacity. That dude's starting.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, okay, all right. I mean, so he's going to compete with Kevin Johnson at least, and he'll probably start. And then, if Johnson's on the field, though, Colvin's probably still goes to nickel. So it's probably like a matter of moving him wherever he's going to follow guys. But
I like Colvin being a nickel. That part I'm fine with. In today's NFL, teams play plenty of nickel. It doesn't really matter too much. Mm-hmm. But in terms of as we were talking about Justin Reed, how much playing time he's getting in have for their safeties, I wonder how that much is deployed, I guess I'll say.
Right. No, I think that's pretty fair. Yeah, I think that I don't know how much Justin Reed's going to see the field year one. I think down the road he's a big part of the plans, but year one, I don't know. I mean, it just seems like and the Texans have had a bad safety group for years, and then all of a sudden they bring in Tyrann Mathieu, and I know Ibrahim Campbell's not great, but he's over here, and it seems like they move Kareem Jackson to safety, and now it's a little bit more of a loaded room than it's been in the past when it was just who's going to start next to Andre Hall, basically, in the past couple of years. But either way, I don't think you see Reed start. I don't think you see any other rookie. I mean, Ejiofor, if he recovers well enough by the time week one rolls around, may play.
I liked Ejiofor. I thought he flashed a lot in his tape.
I bet he plays as an inside rusher.
I thought he flashed as like a true 4-3 edge guy. So
here's your potential long and late down edge or your long and late down rush group for the Texans. Okay, you ready for this? You could have Jadeveon Clowney and Whitney Mercilus off the edge, and you could have Duke Ejiofor and J.J. Watt on the inside.
I'm great with that.
I mean, I don't know. I know Watt's probably not going to be the same player he once was, sadly, based on those injuries. But dude, what if you those four? Are you kidding me? That's nasty. That's real nasty. And they don't have pass rusher. I mean, DJ Reader, great player. I think he'll give you early down rush. But again, he's probably going to come off the field. You know, Joel Heath, Christian Covington, these guys, Carlos Watkins, they're not great pass rushers. So I think you're going to see them working guys like Ejiofor and even their sixth round pick, Kalumbaya, I think is going to work in there as well. So, but again, no starters, man. I don't know. Like, does Martinez Rankin start? It's a bad offensive line. He's certainly going to have the chance to. But I wasn't a big fan of him coming out. They took him in the third round, though. It's a pretty weak group. He could definitely start a guard. But they brought in Zach Fulton, and they brought in Kelemete from the Saints, who played well last year. Nick Martin's probably going to start at center. So, you know, again, I don't think they're great, but I think they brought in three of these five guys are new to the team, Chantrell Henderson and Zach Fulton and Kelemete. So I think that they probably brought him in to start, So we'll see what happens. I think Rankin has a chance to crack. Rankin probably has a better chance to crack the lineup than anybody else.
I mean, other than Ejiofor and Reed, I just don't know if these other guys are ready. Yeah. Speaking of being ready, we got to talk to the people out there being ready, not on the football, somewhere else. Yeah. Talking about it in the bedroom. Okay. Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed and be ready, like we were talking about. Listen up. BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you guys know that they work. You can take them anytime. Full, since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as the pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. BlueChew.com, it's prescribed online, shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy. Best of all, there's no awkward this kind of stuff. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships directly, they're cheaper than any kind of pharmacy. So right now we're running a special deal. Still, for our listeners, visit BlueChew.com, and you get your first shipment for free. The special promo code is LONFLDRAFT. Is that right?
Locked on. Just locked
okay,
on.
Okay, so it's just locked on. Yeah, so just locked on. The special promo code is locked on. You just pay $5 for the shipping. Again, that's Blue, BlueChew.com, and the promo code is locked on. So there you go. You could be more ready than some of these rookie Houston Texans prospects are.
Is Jordan Akins ready though? That's my guy. I like Jordan Akins a lot. I was pumped to see him go in the third round. I think that he's that field stretching type of tight end. There's nobody really ahead of him, right?
I guess there's nobody ahead of him. Yeah, I'm looking at it. I'm
not
like,
really a great group.
I'm like, I don't really think that Jordan Akins is going to start, but
yeah, maybe. It's going to be a role. You know, it's not going to be he's not going to do everything. But they don't really, again, Steven Anderson, undersized kind of tight end. Griffin's going to have to be the blocking guy. There's not really that guy here. I think Akins is going to be his. Split him out, spread the field.
Yeah, you might be right.
Let Deshaun Watson work in some space. Flex out Hopkins and Fuller and either Braxton Miller or Kiki Kuti. And Kuti's another one. You know, he's going to certainly have a chance to win that slot receiver spot. So, you know, there are guys that will contribute here. I don't know if you'll see anybody way up there in snap counts for the Texans, but there are guys that will contribute year one. Kuti and Akins will see the field. And if Rankins can beat out Fulton or Calmette, or if he's at left tackle and Julian Davenport struggles, I mean, that's the nice thing about Rankin. A lot of people saw him as a guy that could move around the offensive line, and he's super smart, apparently. So that works in his favor in terms of a guy that might be able to see the field right away, even if physically, athletically, he doesn't have that high of a ceiling. So I think you could see some contributors. Don't bury the group just yet. How about with the Indianapolis Colts? It's almost completely the other end of the spectrum. Are any of these rookies not going to start? I mean, that's your situation. Okay, Quentin Nelson obviously starts. He probably is up there. If he doesn't get hurt, he's going to be
Madden. If you are a Madden Colts fan, you're pumped.
Oh, yeah. If you're into the draft, just because, sure.
Just because it's like a new team.
Oh, yeah. No question. I mean, Quentin Nelson starting probably in every snap unless he gets hurt.
Yeah.
Braden Smith will start as a backup probably, but you know, Jack Muhort gets hurt a lot, so I wouldn't count out him being in there at right guard before the season's ends. Who else we got? Let's just look on the offensive side of the ball for a second. It's going to be a running back by committee. Chris Ballard's been very open about that. He said offensive line is where you focus on building. Let's running back by committee, I'm very comfortable with. So I don't think you can say Nyheim Hines or Jordan Wilkins are going to start, but I guarantee you they play a good bit. And both of those guys are better as runners than Marlon Mack is. I know that triggers you, but it's true. Nyheim Hines and Jordan Wilkins are better pure runners than Marlon Mack.
Wrong, but it's fine. Darius Fountain is making this team.
Darius who?
Darius Fountain, the wide receiver.
Oh, not only is he making the team, he might start.
Like, yeah, he...
It's D.Y. Hilton and Ryan Grant, and then there's going to be
Dude might legit be their wide receiver three.
He might be. I mean, Hilton and Grant can both work from inside. But you're going to – I mean, Fountain and Kane both are going to have the opportunity to make this team. Not only make this team, they're going to have the opportunity to start. Because there just isn't anybody else here. Chester Rogers and K.J. Brent are the guys typically
– What is right this now listed roster? What?
This is the work of Ryan Grigson. We've talked about it before.
My God, it's still
sad to revisit. It's very sad. It's very, very sad. And keep in mind, this is Andrew Luck's group. So,
all right, flip the
defensive. Flip sides. Okay. Darius Leonard was, and I thought Ballard was super transparent in the press conference. I love how Josh Norris goes through and he like breaks down all the press conferences and Chris Ballard after the draft, and Chris Ballard's super transparent. He said Leonard was their fifth ranked linebacker. Four linebackers went off the board in the first round. The four we expected, right? Was that right? Four in the first round? Yeah, four in the first round. Leighton Vander Esch, Evans, Roquan Smith, and Tremaine Edmonds. Those were their top four linebackers. They're all gone. They take Darius Leonard, okay? Leonard is not ready to start. No way, no how. You'll never convince me. I did not think much of him as a prospect at all, and then he went out and he didn't test well either. They rave about him, so he's going to get the chance here. Is it going to be week one? Because Anthony Walker and Antonio Morrison are really bad combo to start. And Walker, some people think it's showed some promise as a rookie. But again, not an athletic guy, not a guy you project to play every down. You know, I just don't know. Like, Leonard may end up starting week one. It's obviously not a good group ahead of him. It's going to really be dependent on him. And Sky Moore, who's a free agent, we don't even really talk about the free agents. But the Colts are so bad that you could almost project Sky Moore to be a part of this rotation.
Sky Moore could play Will.
Yeah, I had Sky Moore ranked over Darius Leonard. I mean, I didn't love either of them, but I did. I had him ranked over Leonard. Now, I know Moore had some character concerns and had a neck injury that was pretty, I think, was concerning to people. But if his health's good, you know, I don't know. I just think that this is a group that, I mean, if the Colts are okay with just letting the most talented, like, you know, Jared Davis situation in Detroit, we drafted a guy high, and we know the guys ahead of him are great, even if they've been in the league longer and might know if might make this not make this mistake or not make that mistake, we're going to roll with our young guy. We're going to let him make mistakes. We're going to let him play. If that's the Colts mentality, Leonard and Sky Moore could start. That could end up being what it is. Leonard at Mike, Moore at Will, and you just roll with it. So we'll see what happens, but great chances to start for both of them. Even on the edge, you know Jabal Sheard's going to play. There's been talk John Simon could get cut. Terrell Basham's been running with the number ones along with Sheard. Kamoko Ture and Tyquan Lewis probably don't start, but I bet both see pass rush time.
Yeah, I think they both get plenty of action.
Yeah, especially Lewis inside, I think, because, you know, well, again, none of their defensive linemen are great pass rushers.
They're moving to 4-3, though. So Ture's kind of interesting, because if the Colts were still a 3-4, I'd tell you that Ture might be the best stand-up outside they got.
Oh, yeah. I'd agree with that. Yeah, so, I'd agree with that. So they're going to have him put his hand down and tee off, which I'm really excited to see.
You think he'll be good there?
I think he will be, yeah.
You studied him more than I did, because a lot of what I know is kind of from reading your work and a couple other people's work on him, and then I've looked at him briefly myself. But I just really liked how comfortable he looked as a stand-up rusher, and I know it can be awkward for guys putting their hand in the ground. It's not always as easy with however flexible their hips are or popping up or losing leverage or whatever it is. And like Noah Spence has been a little bit like that in Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. I think that he showed he was a lot more comfortable. Because at Ohio State and at, Eastern Kentucky? I think Eastern Kentucky is where he went.
That sounds right.
They almost had him when he was like hand in the ground, he was almost like he's almost like wide nine hand in the ground. And so like he was basically teeing off like in a straight line to get to the quarterback because the offensive lineman just could not keep up with him.
Right.
But when he had to play from like a five, you could just tell it was a little bit more difficult for him. Not difficult, I guess just not as comfortable when he had to go hand in the dirt. Sometimes two hands, as opposed to when he was standing up. And so I saw a lot of good things from Ture standing up, and that transition with the hand on the ground. It's not as easy as just a guy getting down. So
he looked good in the Senior Bowl with his hand down. So I've
that's good then. Okay,
I think you would remember be a natural one for him. Yeah, I think Lewis will rush inside. Autry will rush inside. Again, it's not a great group, but as a group effort, I think if they scheme things well, they can get home. They can make some noise in that way, and I think Lewis and Ture can definitely be a part of that. You know, you could make the argument Trey's their best edge pass rusher right now. We've got to see what Basham can do in year two, how he comes along, huge year for him. But I think Ture, as the year goes on, is going to get more and more opportunities because he just brings elements in terms of speed and bend you can't teach as a pass rusher, and I think that nobody else on this roster has. Like, even Basham, if he becomes good, he doesn't have that type of bend. He's never had that flexibility that Ture has. And it's hard to teach that. It's one of the most important traits for an edge rusher, in my opinion. So I think that Ture's going to bring that, and eventually that'll be too hard to keep off the field. So you'll see tons of rookie contributions for the Colts. You could see potentially four guys starting as rookies for the Colts, at least. And then a heavy rotation involvement for other guys. So you're going to see a lot of stuff from these guys. So if you're a Colts fan and you followed the draft closely and you had loved all the picks that your team had, get ready because these guys are going to play a ton.
Yep.
How about the Jaguars? What do you see from this group? Taven Bryan, your son, is he going to see the field? Is he going to play it all year one?
I mean, yeah, he is. They're going to – you don't pick a guy first round and don't think that he's at least going to be – it seems like what the Jaguars did is they went into the draft and let's make the strength stronger. And I think that's what they did over the last – year as well, and it worked out really well for them, and they're kind of keeping that strategy there, because if there was one position the Jaguars didn't need to address in the first round, it was defensive line.
True.
And they drafted defensive line. So
also true.
So like, and I don't say that necessarily as, hey, this Taven Bryan pick was going to be a waste of a pick, but it's them saying, this was our bread and butter. This is what got us far in the playoffs. And it is one of the core, it's one of the core parts of football. So making sure that you are super deep and almost having waves of rotation at one of the most important positions of football on the defensive line, it can't be like a bad thing. And so that's what I saw with the Jaguars, is that
Eagles just won a Super Bowl doing that.
Yeah, right. So like, that's what I see from the Jaguars, is that they almost use their first round pick as like a luxury pick, which is kind of crazy to say. But when you kind of look at what the Jaguars have done over the last year and how this kind of continues that trend and almost just makes it even better, I really like the move. So that's kind of my thoughts about where they went in the first round.
I don't disagree with the move. I just think that you're not going to see any rookie starters in Jacksonville. DJ Shark has a chance to play as a third receiver, maybe. A situational guy. There's going to be probably a good rotation here. But I don't think Will Richardson beats anybody out for either tackle or guard spot, not year one. I mean, I think he could, but I just don't think they'll go that direction. Plus, he comes from a zone-heavy scheme, and now he goes into a gap power-heavy scheme. So there's going to be a learning curve for Will Richardson. I liked him as a player a lot. I just don't know if we're going to see him year one. Ronnie Harrison going to be behind Barry Church and Tashawn Gibson. They signed DJ Hayden to play a lot in the nickel. Don Carey's their special teams demon. I think Harrison will play in certain packages, and if somebody gets hurt, obviously, but I really think that, I mean, Church and Gibson almost never came off the field, and neither did Ramsey or Bouye. So I think you're going to see that secondary stay exactly the same unless there's injuries. And I think you'll see Brian play situationally, but again, I mean, dude, Calais Campbell, Dante Fowler, Yannick Ngakoue on the edge, then Campbell can kick inside. You have Malik Jackson, Abry Jones for early downs. Marshall Darius is going to play like 45% of your snaps. So think about that distribution.
Yeah.
Taven Bryan might have like 10 snaps a game, if that. I'm just not sure where that all factors in. It's not a rip on him, but he was kind of raw coming in. I think he needing some time.
For sure. Yeah, he definitely needs coaching, but they're gonna rotate him in plenty, man.
We'll see. I would like to see him. I like to see all rookies right away. You know, that's just my mindset, but
I think they're gonna see. This might be actually really good for Brian, because the thing with him is that when you watch his Florida tape, it looked weird because it was almost as if they were just telling Taven Bryan, "Hey, just go." Like, there's no strategy to what our defensive line is doing. We just want you to like shoot up the middle, and we'll let the other guys, I guess, like figure it out and get the tackle. So it almost looked like undisciplined at times, which maybe it was. I'm not sure. I don't know the exact call, so I can't say for sure. But if Taven Bryan's in a rotational role for the Jaguars, he might still be able to do that. Like, they might just put him in and tell him, hey, blow up the middle. Just, like, blow up the middle on this play.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely going to be used in roles very specific to what he can do early on, and they're going to eventually build him up to be able to take on a bigger role, I think, for sure. But
right, so I think, I don't know. They might be able to lean into his learning curve pretty well in Jacksonville.
Right,
so.
I hope so. Surprise guy that could start in Jacksonville? Leon Jacobs. I think he can make this team, and I think he could potentially start. Now, it's not going to be a heavy snap count, but they're looking for somebody for Sam linebacker. Miles Jack's going to play Mike. Telvin Smith's going to play Will. And then right now it's Blair Brown and Leon Jacobs kind of battling it out for that. Very different role for – I saw Blair Brown as a Will, so I don't know whether he'll be natural in that role. Jacobs will be very natural as a Sam. Again, it's probably not a heavy snap count because they're going to play nickel almost all the time. But he or Laurente McCray probably make the most sense in that role, and then Brown backing up Telvin Smith. That's kind of how I see it. So he could be the surprise guy that ends up being the one that starts.
I could see that.
And are you with me on Tanner Lee not beating out Blake Bortles?
Tanner Lee is not going to beat out Blake Bortles, no.
Can we say this? Tanner Lee's peak is Blake Bortles.
Not yes.
Even. Tanner Lee's peak is pre-2018 Blake Bortles, or 2017 yes. Blake Bortles.
Yes.
That's fair. Okay. All right. Sounds good. Well done. There's the Jaguars. Who we got? Titans? Titans. Did Titans have two of the top defensive rookie of the year candidates? If you were going to make a list of defensive rookie of the year candidates, Harold Landry would have be decently high on it, right?
Harold Landry and Rashawn Evans would both be on there, yes.
Evans probably wouldn't be in my top five now that I think about it. I could see him cracking the top 10.
Top five.
Hang on. Stand by. Roquan's going to be up there. Chubb and Roquan would be my top two. Not only were they my top two defensive players, they were both the most ready. Landry's going to be in there.
Wait, who was the first one that you said?
Chubb and Roquan Smith.
Oh, right. Okay.
Landry's going to be in there. And then, dang.
Leighton Van Der Esch is going to get a crap ton of stats.
Yeah, probably, because Sean Lee's going to get hurt, and then he's going to be on the field every down. And
yeah.
I don't think any of the interior guys are going to be able to put up enough numbers to be involved in it, in that position.
No. Nope.
Cornerback, I think defensive player of the year, by the way, has been won by a first-round pick for, all but one of the last, 18 years or something like this, since 2000. It's crazy. Oh, wow. It's almost always a first-round pick.
Well, you know.
So that makes, a corner up be, Ward or Jair Alexander or Mike Hughes. Hughes isn't going to play enough. Jair's going to play, but I don't know about that level. Ward's going to get picked on. Everybody in Cleveland's secondary is going to get picked on. Cleveland was great against the run last year. Everybody's going to throw on them.
I would say, I think my three top ones would be Chubb, Roquan, or I'll go five. I guess Chubb, Roquan, Edmonds, Van Der Esch, and Derwin if he gets a crap ton of turnovers.
I'm going to go.
That would be my five.
I'm going to go Chubb, Roquan, Derwin. Derwin, because I think Derwin's going to play even more than Minka. I think both will play a ton, though. Derwin, Minka, no. Landry. The only thing with Landry is he's behind Arakpo and Morgan. So that's, I get a little bit. I'm not sure. You don't have Landry in there. Okay. All right. Well, either way, two of the top 10, let's say. Two of the top 10 defensive rookie
year candidates.
All right,
there we go.
Fair. I think are going to be Landry and Evans. So, and both are, well, Evans is a for sure starter, week one starter. Not even a question about it. Landry, you're probably not going to say starting because Morgan and Arakpo will start if they're healthy, but he's going to play a ton on passing downs. They're going to mix this stuff up, and they're going to get Landry on the field. He's going to play on the downs that matter. So it'll be a good rotation there. Then what? They didn't have another pick until the fifth round. Dane Cruikshank, who I'm not going to totally rule out. Starting seems rich, but he played in the nickel. He's a big nickel type of guy. They'd need a player like that. Cyprian isn't great. They're strong safety. So even if they wanted to play him in that role, Byard can play any safety role. So it really makes it nice because whoever your other safety is, you can just use him in a way that isn't what Byard is doing, and you have that flexibility you need. So if Cyprian needs to play in the box, fine. Byard will play single high or play in the slot when you need to. It doesn't matter. If you have, Ed Reed on your team and you want Byard to play closer to the box, he's going to be one of the best safeties in the league at that too. So it's nice having a guy like Byard because of that, and I think I could see him gelling with Cruikshank because there isn't a lot in front of Cruikshank here. I mean, Kendrick Lewis is here, veteran, but again, not a guy that you're going to count on to start. I could easily see him being number three safety. And if they want to roll some three safety packages out there, I could see that happening.
All right.
So the Titans could have big contributions.
Mariota, right?
We almost went through. We hadn't mentioned Luke Falk's name in several weeks, and it was so nice. And now you had to go there, and now I'm salty all over again.
Do you want me to bring up Akram Wadley's name instead?
Do you think he has a shot? No, he doesn't have a shot. He's a shot at making the roster.
Yeah, I start to overthrow Derrick Henry? Yes.
Oh, gosh. Your Derrick Henry love is way too rich, but
it's true.
If you start talking about Akram Wadley getting involved in there, nah. There's no, over Deion Lewis and Derrick Henry, there shouldn't be another guy taking
He's not yet.
But if one of them gets hurt.
Luke Falk was...
What was that?
Luke Falk was a Bucs target. They wanted Luke Falk.
Oh, that's interesting. To be third string, eventually second string. He is not fit for their offense at all. That is so
trust
weird.
Me, man. It would have been a butt pick.
Yeah, it would have been. Titans saved him. Congrats to the Bucs. They are the winners of that exchange there. Tomorrow, we answer all your questions related to the Draft Network. So if you guys have questions about the new endeavor, the new site that Trevor and I and Cal Krabs, Joe Marino, Brad Kelly, Ben Solak, with the help, obviously, of J.C. Cornell, Carter LaSalle, that we're putting out there, the Draft Network launching August 6th. If you have any questions about it, like what we're going to do with it content-wise or what it's going to look like, anything, just fire questions over to us on Twitter. We're going to try and get to as many as we can tomorrow during the podcast. I know I already put up a tweet about it and I have a bunch of your questions that I think we're going to be able to answer tomorrow for you. Try and give you guys as good of an idea as what the site's going to look like, what all it's going to provide you, and hopefully get some of your ideas along the way and see if we can work some of them in if they're good. So if you have any questions about that, make sure you send them over to Trevor and I on Twitter, and we'll try and get to them as much as we can. Leave us reviews, ratings on iTunes. We always love that. We always appreciate that. And remember, the Draft Network launching August 6th, 2018. It's going to be a great time, folks. Until tomorrow, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.